You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, Future You gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future You goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.
Time now for the V Show with Bob Valvano on your sports station, ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
Greetings from Pittsburgh. How are you on this unbelievably, in the literal sense of the word, I cannot believe it is this mild in Pittsburgh at this time of year. When I first got married to the big-headed producer's mother, she had just graduated from University of South Florida. As you can guess, that's not very cold in the winter. And I was coaching at St. Francis, New York, and during the Christmas break, we had a trip. In our league, we played St. Francis of Pennsylvania, a league with two schools named the same, go figure. But we played St. Francis of PA, which is in Loretto, PA, which is in the middle of nowhere, about an hour and a half or so east of here. And then we played Robert Morris, which is basically right here, actually right near the airport. It's out by the airport in Coriopolis. We're staying in downtown Pittsburgh. And I don't know whether I scheduled this or the guy before me. I think it was the guy before me. Maybe he knew he was going to get fired. They were 2-26 after all. So he said, screw the new guy. I'm going to punish the hell out of him. So he booked a game to start the trip in Maine in January. Oh, Maine in January is delightful. So it was about 4 degrees in Maine. And we flew to Robert Morris, and if humanly possible, the wind chill was colder here. And then we went to St. Francis, PA, where we had an annual tradition at St. Francis, New York. We would almost get killed going to St. Francis, PA every year. One year the bus skidded, went over the divider. The next year we said, screw, we're not going to take buses. Yeah, then we took vans, and then the vans got sideways. It's awful. The winters here are usually brutal. And my ever-loving bride said to me, this was the trip you decided that would be appropriate to take me on. Like, yeah, that's why we had some problems in our marriage. I didn't always make wisest decisions. Let me take a girl out of Tampa, deep, rich, summer, year-round summer tan. And we go to Maine where it's minus four. Oh, we'll be out of here soon, honey. We're going somewhere it's colder. So I'm used to, in fact, it was so cold here at Robert Morris, I remember, we couldn't get the key in the door for the car. It was frozen, so we couldn't get in the car to make it worse. And, you know, we weren't exactly traveling with de-icer. We had to call somebody to come help us. We could not get in our rental car. So it is usually brutal. I looked out the window of our hotel, and there's a guy running outside in shorts and a T-shirt, and is just, you know, pedestrians who aren't running. Yeah, I know when you run, you wear less clothing, so that's not necessarily an indicator, but just people on their way to lunch, guys with no jackets, maybe a light windbreaker. This is Pittsburgh in January. What's going on? So that's pretty nice that we're sitting here not having to freeze our butts off. But it's coming. We're still getting the cold weather's coming. We're not getting off scot-free. But it's a very nice day here. It'll be a lot nicer if the Cards can take care of business against the Pitt Panthers a little bit later on today. A lot of things to talk about, and I think they're all interesting. And obviously basketball's kicking into full gear now. We'll talk about college basketball in general, talk about this game in particular. But last night's national championship game is, I usually give you the full disclaimer, even if it's just for a 5-minute conversation, whether it's right or wrong, we sometimes form opinions of people. That guy was really nice to us. That guy was really a jerk to us. She was really a B.I. She was really sweet. She was whatever. She was very sharp. But I mean, that's what we do. I've never interviewed or talked to Ed Orgeron at all. So there's no dog in the fight there. But if you read his bio And I mean, he's a guy that reclaimed his life, basically. I mean, he was out of control. I guess a girl he was seeing had a restraining order on him. And then, you know, he got the job at what was it? Ole Miss, I guess. Right. And they weren't very good. And he talks in that very goofy to most people. I mean, if you're from down there, probably it's not as goofy, but if you're from, you know, St. Louis, Missouri, or from Denver, Colorado, he sounds like a cartoon character. And so he was easy to dismiss. And he has absolutely been the genuine article. I mean, ends every interview with "Go Tigers." The thing about punching himself in the face in the pregame, I'm not sure I quite understand, but it is football, and you're expecting guys to go out there and hit and be hit, and so what the hell? You might as well get the ball started and punch yourself in the face. I don't know. That's a football thing. But the players obviously like him very much. I know football is the coach is very much more of a CEO than he is really a hands-on coach. I'm not saying he doesn't. He may have a tremendous intricate knowledge of the game, but I don't know that that's as important as making sure you have a vision of how you want your team to play and surrounding yourself with the people who can implement that vision. And he's hired very good assistants and coordinators. And you can make a case, as hard as it is to believe, that this is the best. Paul Finebaum came out and said it. It's the best college football team in history. And, you know, once you start talking history, how the hell are we going to compare this with teams from, you know, Bud Wilkinson's undefeated teams in Oklahoma 75 years ago? I mean, how are you going to compare that? But the fact of the matter is, when you look at their resume, yikes. I mean, they beat everybody. They beat everybody. I mean, for Pete fans who sometimes lament, well, in college football you can kind of finagle your way into a championship by not playing challenging people or whatever. They played people, and I mean, an amazing, amazing run to the championship. And it's hard not to feel good for the guy. Assuming, I mean, I don't know, maybe behind closed doors he's a jerk, but if he's a decent, if he seems to be as cool a guy as he appears in the snippets with which we see him at the podium in an interview, he's very nice to the interviews at halftime. I don't think he takes himself all that seriously, you know, which is such a far cry from the usual self-proclaimed genius football coaches who the weight of the world is on every sentence that they utter. I mean, this guy's easy to feel good about the story. And, you know, the more you think about it, I'd love some time to go back and look through history and stuff. But just on a cursory glance, you're going to have a hard time finding a team with a resume that's better than that one, really. I mean, that is remarkable. The caliber of people he beat and to run the table at 15 wins, and like I said, unless you have some private interaction with him where you say, oh no, let me tell you, he's a jerk, it's hard not to feel good for him and what he's put together with that program. Lots of storylines that come out of that. You know, Joe Burrow, what does he do now? People saying he should pull an Eli Manning, refuse to go to Cincinnati. I know our Andy Sweeney said that. He's not alone. You know, I don't know how I feel about that. On the one hand, if they really do not have very much of a commitment to win football games there, I would have a hard time embracing going there as a player, putting my health on the line each week for a team that doesn't really give a rat's ass about winning. But I don't know that. I mean, you know, I think the Cleveland Browns are trying like hell to win, and they just continue to make boneheaded decisions. So I don't know if it's they don't really care about winning, if they're not run very well. And you know, and sometimes you're the guy that turns programs around. And if you want to embrace that challenge, I guess he's an Ohio kid, right? Isn't he? I think he is. You know, maybe there's some sense of that. Hey, I get to play near home. I don't know, but I'm always amazed how authoritative we are on making decisions for other people's lives. It's his decision. I mean, what he decides to do is what he decides to do. I mean, it's his life. He should retire. Why? Because you don't want to watch him play anymore, turn the channel. Maybe somebody wants to still pay the guy to play, let him play. Same thing. He wants to go play. So I'm going to take the challenge of trying to make this franchise good. Well, good for him. But I do wonder how much of an impact he can have, although he is a charismatic guy, I'll tell you. I mean, he's a guy that people, obviously his teammates and the public, people respond to. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. By the way, I'd like to point this out. I'm trying to get in the spirit after yesterday lamenting how fans, you know, it wasn't talking about a particular group of fans, so before anybody reads too much into that, just in general, how fandom has changed And I don't completely understand it, but I'm trying to understand it better. In all seriousness, I think I understand. I mean, I don't embrace it, but the people who just, they live for the red versus blue rivalry here, that's, you know, their thing. They just, that's almost the be all and end all of why they even watch. And to me, it's a shame if it distorts the fact that there's another 33 games in the season in basketball. But, you know, I know that a lot of the frustration of Louisville fans is because they didn't make one more free throw against Kentucky. And that's their business. I don't, you know, and the Yankees and the Red Sox have a tremendous rivalry. You know, all New York teams have a rival, and I root for them in that rivalry. But I don't really just pay attention to the other teams. That's just kind of how I got too much going on in my life. But here, there's an element of each fan base that seems almost obsessed with the others, and then I don't get that. But I mean, I don't see it that way, but I understand it. What I don't understand is the people who watch their own team seemingly to make themselves miserable. I was talking to Paul Rogers about this yesterday, and I just don't get it. I mean, if there's no team is perfect, no team's going to go undefeated and unscored upon. So why they watch and just pick out, well, that guy's no good, that guy sucks, I wouldn't play him, we didn't win this game, so the coach should go. But evidently that's the thing now. So I'm trying to get on board with that. So I'd like to be the first person to take the initiative when it comes to Clemson. Did you know, and I did some research on this today, Dabo Swinney has not won a game this decade. He's winless this decade. He hasn't won one football game this decade, and yet he makes like $4 million a year. I think that's ridiculous. I mean, it's evidently the game has passed him by. They were pretty good in the tens. I understand that. They had a nice little run there, which I don't think he had much to do with, to be honest with you. I mean, the players actually played. He stands on the sideline, I notice, a lot. He never plays a play. And now they get to 2020, and the bottom has just fallen out. I mean, they haven't won it. They're winless this decade. They haven't beaten a whole bunch of people. I mean, he hasn't beaten LSU this decade. He hasn't beaten the Lakers this decade. He hasn't beaten the Patriots. The list of teams he hasn't beaten, I made a list of it, is I stopped at 450 just because I got tired and had to go to bed. But I noticed he hasn't beaten one Major League Soccer team. He has not one win over any of those. Not one in the whole decade. He doesn't have one win. And look at the resources they have. They have all those resources for the bowling alleys and the dorms. Not one win. And you're going to tell me he doesn't have a bigger budget than MLS teams? Of course he does. He hasn't beaten one of them. Not one. So I just think he's got to go. That's just my opinion of it. The game plan was ridiculous. I don't really have the stats in front of me, but whatever plays he ran that didn't work, I'm going to point those out and say that they were stupid. So I mean, don't you think that's? I think that's the only way you can look at it. It's not he seems like a decent guy. I'm not trying to make it personal, but he hasn't won a game this whole decade. And Clemson's a proud program. And if you can't win more games than a Major League Soccer team, you can't beat, you know, the Red Bulls. I just think, you know, not to mention no wins over. He doesn't have a win this decade. This doesn't have one win this decade over an SEC team or a Big 12 team, for that matter. Not one. So I think it's time to make a change there. But that's just one man's opinion of it. So did I convince you, Nick? Are you on board with that?
Yeah.
Sure. You weren't really listening, were you?
No, I was listening, but I think you might. I don't know, man. I think you're being a little hard on that boy.
Really?
A bit.
I don't
just
know.
A bit.
Who's he beating this decade? Who's he beating this decade? Give me a win this decade. Not one. Then I won. His last big win was last decade.
Hey, you know how he won? He was the only ACC team that was ranked by the end of the year. So he was holding.
Again,
he was holding.
That was
holding
last
up,
decade.
He was holding
was
up
last
the
decade.
Whole conference.
This
yeah,
decade.
No, the final rankings that just came out.
Yeah, but this decade, there's no other ACC teams that have lost the game. His is the only program that's lost the game. Think about that. They were so good, and in this decade, the only program in the ACC that has a loss is Clemson. He's got to go. I mean, it's ridiculous. And, you know, Trevor Lawrence kept throwing the ball high to people. He sucks. I mean, so they're not – they got to go. A guy who just tuned in and must be wondering, what the hell is he talking about?
which is probably normal for how people listen to this program. But anyway, you got to tip your hat to LSU. I would like to see. I'm going to go online. So I'm sure somebody's done it. The definitive list. Well, there's no definitive list. Somebody who's credible opinion of the best college football teams of all time, and see the resume that they put together compared to those other ones. That's got to be it's got to be pretty strong. By the way, it seems to be the secret to postseason success. This NFL, this postseason, both the NFL and college, is to try and get behind early. This way, you have a lot of time for a comeback. You give yourself a lot of time to come back. Except for the poor Ravens, who did the first part but couldn't do the second part. But everywhere else, it's unbelievable the comebacks that we're seeing. So a great championship for the LSU Tigers, and pretty classy. Les Miles sent him a congratulations note, which was a nice thing to do. He's one of the guys who's won a national championship there, even though he was basically run out of town for being an idiot. Again, I don't think he's an idiot. I think he's doing a good job at Kansas, actually, but I'm just saying it's the nature of the beast. But Ed Orgeron has found a home. I don't think there's any question. He has found a home, and he is revered there with good reason. He's done a good job. You know what also is interesting, by the way, Nick? There's a picture of his first recruiting class there, and everybody was lamenting all the guys he didn't get. And instead, of course, we just wind up with a national championship some few years later. So I guess he did okay when push comes to shove.
So the cake just needed to bake.
I think it did. By the way, you know, I kind of got critical of Herbie when he did that, made the comments when Louisville beat Florida those many years back, and I was really critical. And so I don't want to look like I'm bashing the guy. He's obviously works very hard. He does a terrific job. But what was the whole thing during the game? And I don't follow recruiting, so I thought maybe I was wrong. But then I looked, and I don't think I am wrong. This whole thing about what a job they've done with Joe Burrow, a 2-star recruit. I went on all the. I went. Did I looked and I. He was a 4-star recruit.
Yeah.
What the hell was that all about?
Locke really brought odd. That up too. Yeah. That was. I mean. But I was saying, like, is he like a Russ Smith? Like, I mean, but everybody had him.
He was a 4-star recruit.
Yeah, everybody
had him. He was very highly regarded.
Right. And I mean, he was a backup at Ohio State, but I mean, I haven't heard anybody. I didn't even know there were 2-star football recruits, to be honest with you.
Why would you do a scale with 4 stars if you didn't have 1, 2, and 3 stars? That wouldn't make any sense, would it?
Well, I've never really seen like a 2-star. I'm not calling BS on Russ Smith, but I've never really seen a 2-star basketball recruit too. So.
Oh yeah, no, they are. I mean, that's how the 5-star basketball camp got started. That's where that whole thing started. Howie Garfinkel, may rest in peace, and Tom Konchalski would rate players and give them 1 star, 2, 3, 4, or 5. And the 1 stars were kids that were college players at a low level, probably, but they were small college players. And then the rare was the 5-star. But yeah, they would give guys 1 and 2 stars. Sure, they would. You don't know them because they're not generally recruited.
Yeah, maybe
Louisville
Kentucky.
Unless you're following the recruiting exploits of Quinnipiac, you're probably not well versed in that. But that's why do we always pick on Quinnipiac? By the way,
it's really a fun one to say, and
it is fun to say.
I usually go for it, and it's not really fair because I actually have had some success in college basketball. I always go with Pepperdine. That's always my like. One for like a random
Pepperdine.
Smaller school. Yeah, I don't know. I just always think it's like kind of funny. Like, yeah,
Pepperdine compared to Quinnipiac is gigantic.
Yeah, no.
Who's interrupting
exactly.
Our show?
I don't know.
Why don't you turn the phone off?
Why don't you turn the phone off?
All right. No, we're not gonna do any more show until you answer that and tell us who it is. Who is? Go ahead. Go to the phone. Go ahead. Who is it? We're waiting for Nick to answer the phone.
ESPN.
Here it is. Who is it?
Hey, what's up, Birdhead Ryan? You want to hop on?
Birdhead Ryan, ladies and gentlemen. It's Birdhead Ryan. He is calling either to come on the air or not come on the air. That's a profound statement. How about that?
Really? Huh.
Uh-huh.
I'll pass that along, man. Thanks, BHR. See you, buddy. Bye.
So he's not coming on.
No, he just right? BHR had a nice little factoid because I was talking.
Even
was,
though it's
I,
not We Want to Know Wednesday.
No, it's not. But it does play into what we're talking about. He's like, would you like to know a Cardinal football player that was a 2-star recruit? And I said, sure.
Johnny Unitas.
No, it was Eric Wood, who was on earlier with the Demon Show today. So, yeah,
Eric Wood
had himself a pretty good career.
That which is why I don't pay attention to recruiting. Wait till they get there and play. Yeah, he had himself a fine, long, distinguished college and National Football League career. No question about that. So, all right. Now, a couple of other interesting factoids. Notes. We'll get to.
You have some guests joining in today, by the way.
Let's go to Echo Man and see who the guests are. Who are they?
All right, so at 1:30, it is Tuesday, Washington Post's Neil Greenberg will join for his
Neil Greenberg
to probably talk a little NFL. I think he might have been down in NOLA, too. I'm not sure.
NOLA!
But, yeah, so we'll talk a little football with Neil. And then interesting note, earlier today, CBS Sports' Dennis Dodd. Out with his way too
he
early.
He came out? He's gay? Dennis Dodd is gay? I mean, not that there's a damn thing wrong with that, but that's newsworthy. Did I jump the gun? Was that not the story?
I have no idea if the Dodd father himself is gay or not. Support his choice either way. But
exactly.
No, he came out with a way too early preseason poll, and he joins Bill Bender of the Sporting News. In the sense that he has the Cardinals on his way too early top 25 list, but he leaves off the Kentucky Wildcats. So that's not why we're having him on. We had him booked before.
Yes,
that.
It is. It's exactly why we're having him.
No, it's not because he was booked way before that list came out. But okay. To help us put a bow on the college football season. But with that little
he's like a good wedding venue. You have to book him way in advance.
Indeed. Indeed. So he'll join us at 2:45 to put a bow on the college football season in this Tuesday V-show and maybe talk a little bit about his way too early preseason rankings. Back to you, all Bob, right. In Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
Have you had any pierogies, by the way?
No, and I would not have them because I'm about to tell you I'm now day two in our second go-round with Vitality Wellness and Weight Loss.
I'm doing
had
my
a good
load
day
up
yesterday. Oh, no, I'm already well into it. Took my supplements yesterday, had a really good day, ate some really good food, and not particularly hungry, to be honest with you. And it's just amazing how if you just spend a little time understanding what they're trying to get you to do and following the program, you will lose weight. And as importantly, and I cannot hammer this home enough, you will be healthier, which is what the bottom line of this whole thing really is. It's great if you lose weight, great if you look better in your clothes and all that, but the fact of the matter is it's all useless if you're not healthier. And this program is predicated on wellness. That's why it's called Vitality Wellness and Weight Loss. I took my little supplements this morning. I took the little dropper of the blue little liquid there that you start the day with. And then I took my three supplements, which are handpicked for me because the scan that they did showed me the things that I am deficient in. Nick's are different than mine. And that makes you feel better and makes you sleep better. You're more rested. You got more energy. And yes, the weight comes flying off. And it's all because it is a program that is, first of all, the best I've ever done. I've said this before. They haven't told me not to say it, but even if they did, I'd say it anyway because it's the truth. There are other weight loss programs out there, and on most of them, I haven't done all of them, you'll lose weight, but there's two things about them that are not impressive. One is they're miserable to be on. Miserable. It's just a daily battle of wills to get yourself through the day. And that's a terrible, terrible way to want to go about living your life. You're trying to get healthier, feel better, look better. You want to be upbeat and happy. You don't want to be on the Bataan death march to try and lose a couple of pounds and a pant size. And that's what so many of the other ones are. And they're so artificially created. And there's not nearly as much individualization in those. You go in and the program is basically in place. Maybe they'll tweak it a little here. I like to eat more bread stuff or whatever, so they'll put a little of that in, a little of this in. But by and large, you're getting tiny portions, tiny, tiny portions. It's not going to serve you well when the program is over. And more importantly, you know, it's not, I'm not thoroughly convinced it's making you healthier. This, I have, the proof is this. This is to me, yeah, it's great that I was on it and I got off it for the holidays. I apologize to Sterling and all the folks over there, but I did. But I'm still probably about 20 pounds lighter than what I did the first time. I lost even more than that, and I'm going to intend to lose that all back and then keep it off for good because it's a great program. But here's the thing. Even if, whatever that number is, I went to the cardiologist and my blood pressure was 110 over 65. This is from the time I was in my upper 30s till now. And that's not too many years because I'm old. The fact is I'm older. I'm not old. You're only as old as you feel. My blood pressure has always been borderline high to very high. And that was textbook. And as I've said on the air before, I made them take it twice because, like, that can't be right. And they did, and it is. And nothing else in my life changed. Where I live, what I do for a living, nothing. Only thing that changed was the Vitality Plan. That's more than enough proof for me. So make it be proof for you. That's the single number one New Year's resolution to lose weight, get healthier. Do it at Vitality. Vitality Wellness and Weight Loss, located right off Bardstown Road here in Louisville. There's a location in Southern Indiana as well. Tell them we sent you. They will take care of you. Good people with a great program. We'll take a break, and we will come back as we roll on from Pittsburgh on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Drew Diener here along with Mark Innes for 25. More V-Show with Bob Valvano is now right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Sensitive topic for some, but I'll jump in. There's a great piece on ESPN.com about how Major League Baseball... I was going to start this segment this way, and I think I will. Let's reset the start of this segment, shall we? I feel like you have a public service to some degree when somebody hands you an open microphone and says, hey, people can hear you. So for you young listeners, today's lesson is this. Today's lesson is when push comes to shove, money almost always wins. And the reason for that is if you take a look at the timeline as it's being reported in Major League Baseball, and the reason this is a bit sensitive is because the people involved from the Astros have been a tad self-righteous. And I said that earlier. Everybody who gets caught cheating seems to have the same answer. That's not who I am. I'm not a cheater. Well, if you log, you're a logger. If you run, you're a runner. If you bake, you're a baker. And if you cheat, you're a cheater. That's the definition of it. One who cheats. And there's no question that they cheated and they got caught and heads rolled. Okay. And here's what's transpired, though, for the people who haven't followed it that closely. And I'll tell you why I'm bringing it up, saying, what do you mean it's could be a personal, a sensitive issue? I'll tell you. I'll get to that in a minute. I said, I'm always amazed at that when they say that. Yes, you are. You want to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry it happened. I apologize. But you're a cheater. Stop saying you're not. You are. I mean, that's the way it is. You cheated and you got caught. Ergo, you're a cheater. Well, if you follow this timeline, what transpired evidently is baseball told the players that the only way the players would fess up to anything is if they gave them immunity. So the players basically told the truth because they were immune from anything that went on. And that's how they got to the bottom of the story. They found out how it was done, who was doing it. And so heads had to roll. Okay. And here is what's going on right now. And Rob Manfred's got himself if you think that he put this to bed just by doing what they did and handing down the maximum fine, people say, well, it was only $5 million. That's the maximum he's allowed by baseball bylaws. And the manager got fired and the general manager got fired. There's a couple of things that transpired here, and it goes back to my point about money always wins. That the people, if the people that are close to the situation are coming out with a report that say that the atmosphere and attitude around the organization was one that absolutely fostered this type of behavior and allowed it to fester, foster and fester, because there was a thought that, and I really, Tim Kirchner, if you haven't read his piece, you should. The thought, and I'm nothing against metrics. I like metrics. You know that. But the fact of the matter is it's very, very dangerous when you think you're the smartest guy in the room. Oh, that's going to put you in a bad situation because you generally are not shy about telling people that. And now you've got to prove it. And the fact of the matter is, for all you smart people listening, there are other smart people as well. There are other smart people who work hard and they have good ideas. And so, well, we're going to have to get an edge because I have to show that I'm smarter than everybody else. And so you'll get an edge by doing things that are innovative. The A's popularized that to the point where they got a movie made about it, Moneyball, because they looked at baseball differently. Well, the problem
problem is there's a lot of people out there using the same numbers and using the same metrics. So we got to do something else. So what we'll do is we'll use technology to blatantly cheat. And they know it was cheating. They knew it was cheating. Anybody in the game knew it was cheating. And this is what went down. And they are not – the thing that's come out of it is how – because I'll tell you why it's sensitive. Let me get to that and then circle back again. Because I put this on there, and our friend Spencer Keepman, and it pissed me off a little bit, to be honest with you, because if you can't see the difference, I don't know what I can do for you. He said, you do realize that this is, you're summing up Louisville's program in a nutshell. Really? Louisville, I mean, I don't think you're summing up Louisville's program at all. You may be summing up some people. I mean, it's sensitive for me to talk about Rick because I considered him a friend and you know, he treated me very well here. But maybe you're talking about Rick because when this all went down, he distanced himself as quickly as he could. And if anything, got his back up. I don't do things like that. Anybody who's followed me my whole career knows I don't do that. Well, that's not the right answer, to be honest with you. You know, they're paying you all that money because it's your program. But the school, when you say Louisville, the school is the exact opposite. They weren't self-righteous about it at all. They immediately went and investigated themselves and fired people and cleaned house. I mean, could it be any more? They did stuff before the NCAA did anything. And you could say, be cynical and say, well, they did it to try and, you know, alleviate whatever punishment. But the fact of the matter is that's what they did. Houston didn't do anything. Houston denied everything at first. In fact, they absolutely made fun of the reporter who broke the story for The Athletic. A.J. Hinch is on record as saying, you called it, that's complete bullspit, he said back in the last winter, that there's absolutely nothing to that. Yeah, and there was. And the general manager who got fired, very self-righteous. Anybody who knows me knows I'm a man of integrity. Who happens to cheat? I mean, so, but here's where the money part comes in, because they have all said, and this is what's really got, he's going to have a hard time keeping this, the bees in the hive. The owner got no punishment at all, basically. Got to keep his franchise. They went out of their way. Rob Manfred, if you read his comment about it, went specifically out of his way to point out, oh, the owner had no knowledge of this, to absolutely cleanse him of all this. And this is the other thing that I find interesting. When they talked to the other teams about this, a couple of the people said, our impression was there was an implied threat almost from Rob Manfred that your punishment, if you talk about this, is going to be worse than the punishment we're giving Houston. And the Dodgers, again, what do the Dodgers have that most of the other teams don't have? They got money. They got lots of money. So they kind of said, yeah, you know what, I got your warning. Right here's your warning. And they very thinly came out with a statement that let everybody know, oh, no. They were not at all pleased with the way this was handled. And then the writer did some more digging and found out they are speaking for a large number of the other franchises who don't have the Dodger kind of money. And so they took that warning to heart, and they kept their mouth shut. But the owner walking away scot-free, and one of them said, so let me get this straight. And if you think about it, this is how it relates to Louisville fans also. I hate to say it, but he got his championship. Managers are interchangeable. Look at how often they're recycled. None of the players got punished. Basically, they think, oh, it was grandstanding. Wow. You know, this manager who was considered one of the stars of the game, he and the general manager out on the street, but the owner kept his team. He kept all his players. He kept the championship. The fine, $5 million for a billionaire, is not anything particularly significant. That's a bunch of crap, because this is as overt an episode, cynical episode of cheating as they've had. And so there's, and when I said that, and Tim Sullivan made a great point. I mean, he said, and I realize that baseball doesn't work like the NCAA, which the NCAA can basically arbitrarily do whatever the hell they want. But I think he's right that whatever illegalities that went on here at Louisville may have been nauseating from a moral and ethical standpoint. And I'm not minimizing them, so let's not don't try and take me down that road. But in terms of a competitive advantage, I think it's impossible to make the case that what went on at Louisville was more of a competitive advantage than what the Astros were using. I mean, that's in terms of actually translating to performance on the field or on the court, what they did is much more egregious, and there's no
punishment to them. And I don't know, maybe baseball extends this. What are we going to do? We're not the NCAA. Most people belittle the NCAA for vacating. We're not going to vacate a championship. But I don't think the people and the other franchises looked at this and said, oh, yeah, they really got whacked. I think they're looking at it and saying. And you know what else is telling me? I've over the last 3 or 4 years, sadly, I've changed my view of college sports. And you could say, oh, sure, you're just doing it to justify what I'm at Louisville. I'm really not. I honestly am not. But I wish I could give you more empirical evidence that I'm not. So if you choose to not accept that, I can't do much to tell you that you're wrong. But in my heart of hearts, I think you're wrong. It's not based on that. It's based on just observation. And I'll give you some little supporting evidence. Everybody's getting paid in college sports. I had no earthly idea. I was like the little naive bumpkin. I really thought that it wasn't not nearly as widespread as it is. It may take different forms and different shapes, but it's kind of like when Lance Armstrong was racing in the Tour de France. If you wanted to be competitive at that level, you were doping. You may not think it's right, but you had a choice. You either were going to dope or you were not going to be competitive. Well, it's the same thing. Basically, if you ain't paying people, you're not going to get competitive players. Somehow, some way, I'm sure some coaches will call in and say, oh, that's a bunch of crap. But I'm more sadly convinced that that's the case than not nowadays. So if you're a fan of a particular program, oh, you're talking about everybody else, not us. Whatever. It's pretty damn widespread and doesn't mean the coach knows about it. But I did not realize the network of stuff that was going on was to the level it was. And the reason I bring that up is because that's why you don't see coaches get so irate about it. Because in their heart of hearts, they know, as the cliche goes, there, but for the grace of God, go I. Because that's what I mean. Because if you were playing, it's why players didn't get all that irate about steroids in baseball. Because they knew most teams you'd have 23 guys that would not be allowed to play. You'd hear one or two guys, then they would be frustrated and pissed off because they're like, well, damn it, I'm not doing it. And they weren't. But the overwhelming use of it made it to the point where everybody shut up. And it's not just a matter of, well, nobody wants to be a stool pigeon. It's because if you're surrounded by it, you keep your mouth shut. It's honor among thieves. And that's kind of what I'm sad to say. I didn't realize college sports had devolved into or had been that way forever, and I was just unaware of it. At the very highest level, I'm not talking about Quinnipiac again, but at the highest level, that's the reality.
What about Pepperdine?
I don't think Pepperdine either, but I don't know. They're on the West Coast. Have you ever been to Pepperdine's campus, by the way? It's so beautiful. You shouldn't have to pay anybody to go there. Oh, my God. Gorgeous. I digress. Baseball, if you want to be cynical, that's fine. But the simple fact of the matter is the anger with which the other teams are expressing this, giving their reaction, leads me to think this is not widespread. This is a Houston Astros thing. Alex Cora came from that culture, brought it to the Red Sox. They won a World Series as well. And if you're one of the other franchises, I would think you're pissed off because I don't think it's widespread. I really don't. I think they should absolutely be hammered. Because what's interesting, Fred Hina, who's the trainer for Louisville, as most of you know, was for a long time the trainer for the New York Mets. So he's well-versed in baseball. And he said something that made a lot of sense to me. He said, one of the other problems that baseball has is there's no uniformity into the technology. Like in football, I think he's right anyway. The National Football League has a contract for the people to put all of their electronics in each stadium. I believe it's the same. I believe it's the same company that has the headphones connection and all that stuff. Baseball, he said, everybody's on their own. They go do their own thing. And so it's very hard to monitor that. You would think common sense would tell you if you hire one company that's doing it for the whole league, they don't want to jeopardize their, if somebody asked them, hey, could you do something illegal for us? I think they would say, screw you. I'm not jeopardizing a contract with 29 other teams here. So you can get an edge. So, I think it makes sense. They probably should do that. But they haven't. And so baseball has this is not gone. This is not done yet. As much as they'd like it to be, as much as Jim Crane, the owner, would like it to be. Well, it wasn't me. I mean, he got self-righteous as well. They got a bigger problem because the other teams are not satisfied. And as this settles in and they look at it and say, what'd you really do to them? Nothing. Nothing of substance. I think it's hard to keep people quiet, hard to keep rich people quiet. Eventually they'll start talking. But again, you know, who won? If anybody wins in this, who won? Did the manager and the general manager? Clearly not. The players are probably definitely, in fact, richer than the manager and general manager.
They lost an assistant GM too, I believe.
Yeah, they did. Well, they had lost the other guy who came up with the "Thank God we got Asuna." He screamed in front of the female reporter. They already lost that guy, Talkman or whatever his name was. They've been a train wreck as an organization. They really have. But think about it. In the pecking order, general manager and manager. I mean, I'd love to have their salaries, but they're not rich compared to the players. So they got it. They definitely got it. The players are next in the pecking order. So they had to get immunity in order to participate, but then they did, and they were protected. And then the richest guy of all is not only protected, he had the commissioner come out and go out of his way to exonerate him, to not the players. So it's like the two guys who have the least money had the whole crap load dumped on their lap. The next group of a high level, well, they didn't get, nobody celebrated them, but they didn't get slapped around too badly because, they're the next order of money. The guy at the top not only doesn't lose anything from this, but they bent over backwards to make sure that the public perception is that, oh, no, he's okay. He's really good. And the commissioner going, bending over to make sure that you understand, now this guy's a man of integrity. Like, two paragraphs in. It's just incredible that they felt very important. Because why? Because what does he have the most of? He has the most shekels. Always the most shekels. Yeah, it's a good thing when you have the most shekels. People lose all sense of logic to protect you. So that's. But again, I really think that, you know, oh, when the guy wrote it, I thought, oh, geez, I sent that tweet out that, you know, if you cheat, you're a cheater. That's what the definition is. Oh, and people are like, oh, my God, he has the audacity to say that for Louisville. I don't know. Maybe, again, I'm naive. But the way I look at it is there were some things that went on here that shouldn't have gone on. And those people are all gone, literally all gone. President, athletic director, coach, coaching staff, gone. So I'm proud of the way they're doing business right now. I'm proud of the people they've got in place. If you're a Louisville fan, you should be very proud. These are good people. And I've been fooled, so I don't know, maybe 5 years from now we'll find out the games are just a ruse so they can launder drug money. I don't know, but I don't think so. There's good people, and they're doing it. They're trying to do it the right way, and so that's how I feel about it. So, yeah, stuff went on, but it's got nothing to do with what's going on right now. They found out about it. They did what you should do in that situation. They said, we need a fresh start. They got all fresh people in here, and they're going forward. And they got a football coach who shocked the hell out of everybody with a great year. They got a basketball coach who, less than a year and a half into his run, had the team ranked number one in the country and still is one of the top three teams in the ACC. Which people still dismiss as if that's not a big deal. I pick up all these publications, and they're talking about the three halves in the ACC now, the best basketball league historically in the country, maybe not this year, but historically year in and year out. And they just, matter of fact, the three best teams are Duke, Florida State, and Louisville. And then everybody else, I don't know. Louisville's not in the I don't know category. They're in the top three category. So but the baseball team's ranked number one in the country. Jeff Walls continues to win games and make people laugh because he's funny as hell. And I mean, I didn't even count all the other sports. I'm not doing a commercial for them. I'm just telling you the reality. So if you want to, you know, lament what went on or think somehow, how could you say that? Like, all of a sudden I'm being self-righteous when somebody else got caught doing something illegal. I'm not being self-righteous. I don't think that the reaction is comparable, not by the people in power anyway, but certainly the people here now, I think, are doing things the right way and deserve accolades for that. You know what? I don't even have a clock, do I? Oh, we're getting close to the top of the hour, but not so close I can't tell you about Universal Windows Direct. They got a great deal. I don't know what the hell's going on with the weather, but that means whatever the weather's doing, you'll want to keep your home comfortable, and the best way to do it is to get new windows with the new seals with Super Spacer technology, which is what they use at Universal Windows Direct. And when the weather goes up 40 degrees, down 30, you can wind up blowing through lots of money to keep your home comfortable. You don't want to keep paying those dollars to literally go out the window. Well, with Universal Windows Direct, you will not, because these windows last five times longer than the other windows on the market. They are incredibly efficient. They don't use traditional metal spacers, which conduct heat and cold and let that literally go to the wrong side of the glass outside. They keep it in your home, keeping you comfortable and keeping your utility bills down. Speaking of saving money, here's a way you can do it. Buy one, get one free right now. No limit. Free installation. Some restrictions apply. And 36-month 0% financing. That is a great deal on the best windows on the market. Your home will have that new glow with new windows from our friends at Universal Windows Direct. So check them out. Go online or call to make an appointment. Have an in-home estimate done. They are great windows. The demonstration will convince you if you're not convinced already, because they have so many features I can't even do justice to on the radio. And they got that great, very, very attractive deal for you right now with all those things I told you about. Buying one, get one free, free installation, the financing, all of that. Check them out at Universal Windows Direct. All right, we are going to be talking some more. We'll get to the game tonight on the other side at the top of the hour. We'll talk some college basketball in general. Bottom of the hour at 1:30, Neil Greenberg will help us look at the conference championship games in the National Football League.
I got New York Mike's official pick, by the way.
You wanted New York to pass Mike along. Won again last night.
He's in fuego. The points. I think that's three in a row for him. So he said if you want to go 5 for 5 this week, he said follow his advice. Take Green Bay and the points, and take Kansas City and lay the points.
All right. We'll see. The two teams I thought were Super Bowl bound were San Francisco and Baltimore. Baltimore made a quick exit, and now New York Mike's predicting that the other team will make an exit as well. We'll see. Last night he had the LSU laying the points. There was a lot of late money that came in on Clemson. Those people got slapped around a bit because certainly LSU was very convincing in that second half.
Locke lost all of his bets on the for the championship game.
All of them? What did he bet? Overs and unders and all that stuff?
Yeah, I can go back and find them, but it was like Joe Burrow, like passing touchdowns, I think. I think it was like rushing yards for I forgot who it was, for one of the backs for LSU, and he lost every single one of them.
It's impressive.
He went heavy on Clemson, and
what, he bet $4 on Clemson?
Well, all in all, I think he lost less than $17 for all of it, and he had, I think, 5 bets, even though he was saying he's, you know, I don't know his betting prowess enough. Andy always called BS on it. Locke said he, you know, just jokes about all the times he loses. He's actually pretty good. He said he's about 500, maybe a little more. I don't know. But all I know is that he was betting Korean basketball earlier today.
I know, I heard that. What do you mean he's 500? He's 50-50? That's not good. That's you get the toss, and that's what the odds are supposed to be. You get that if you're just a monkey was pointing at games, he'd be at 50%.
Well, that's what he says he's about. So, I don't know.
Well, he's as good as a monkey, then I'll give him that. But you know,
mark
that's
that.
The whole
12:59. Locke's as good as a monkey.
He is. I you know, don't let anybody kid you. He'll beat the he'll hold his own with the little Bubbles there. So wasn't that the name of Michael Jackson's chimp, Bubbles? I think it was.
Yeah. I always go with Chim-Chim.
Very funny, by the way. If you really quick aside, I really enjoyed Jerry Seinfeld's Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. And one of his recent ones, he had Eddie Murphy on. And Eddie evidently would go to Michael Jackson's house on occasion. And, you know, he does a very funny Michael Jackson impression. I guess it was Bubbles. I don't know. But the chimp, like, was no longer a little baby chimp, whatever they are when they're babies. And Michael said, I wish I could do the voice because it's funnier in the voice. But he said, whatever you do, don't go near the cage. He's like, he'll reach out and try and choke it to death. So, Bubbles,
oh my God.
I guess he was not particularly happy as an adult monkey. So, that's a very funny premise, the Seinfeld thing. He's had all the great comics on. It's very entertaining. All right, we'll take a break back. More to come here from Pittsburgh, ESPN 680-1057.
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.